بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. An oath is taken to strengthen the statement that you would make, making a claim, or you're making a statement to reinforce, to strengthen the statement that you want to make, take an oath, as though you're calling it to witness the statement that you're going to make. Say like, Wallah, it has rained. So you're calling Allah Ta'ala to witness the truth of the statement that you are making. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't need to take an oath. Man asdaqu min Allahi haditha. Nobody's speech can be as truthful as the word of Allah Ta'ala. So he doesn't need to take an oath. But Allah Ta'ala understands we are human and we get impressed with certain mannerisms, certain ways, certain types of speech that we get affected. So he addresses us like how we will understand. See that small little child that you are encouraging to eat, 1 year of age, 2 years of age, you won't see him come and participate in the meals. You won't see that. So you will have momom. You talk to him in his language, the language that he understands, the language that he identifies, he relates to that language. So Allah Ta'ala in His infinite mercy, He talks to us in that language that we understand, we identify. So in the surah Qiyamah, La Uqsimu Bi Yawm Al Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala calls to witness the day of Qiyamah. So the whole surah has been commenced with the day of Qiyamah. Now when you in the Quran, wherever an oath is taken, to understand the message that is being relayed, it's going to be very easy for you if you understand the Qasam. So the Qasam is on the day of Qiyamah. So if you understand the Qasam, then you understand the message. Because both are related. The Qasam and the message are related. So when the Qasam and the Kalam is related, so you'll understand what he's talking about. Like Quran Sharif says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. At the token of time, man is in a loss. So you add the both time and loss, you'll understand the philosophy, you'll understand why it's related. Because your capital is time. You've got time, you can do things. No time, you can't do anything. Malakul Maut says, you've got 1 second left, can you do anything? So the capital for the hereafter is time. You've got the capital, you can progress, you can move, you can do things. No capital, what can you do? Can't do anything. So, by the same token, if you want to progress, you want to progress in the hereafter, in investing in the real avenues, then you need to understand the concept of the hereafter. Understand the belief of Qiyamah. To the extent that you're going to believe the truth of Qiyamah, your actions are going to gain strength. But if Qiyamah is just a dream, an illusion, an imagination, then your actions also will be just formal, just going through a motion. But you know there's a thing like Qiyamah, there's a thing like remuneration, there's a thing like accountability. Then your account, your works are going to gain a lot of strength, a lot of might. But you know that one subhanAllah is a tree in Jannat. One alhamdulillah can fill the scales of deeds. So you're going to be reading it with a different level of mind, different frame of mind. See, when you're going into a business, and you know, if I'm going to work out, this thing is going to work out in a month's time, I'm going to get a million land, right? So what type of heart and soul are you going to put in? And if you know that if in 1 month you're going to get 100 million, Say, whatever I need to do, I need to do it in this month. Because if I win, I'm going to get 100 million. You'll be so obsessed. You'll be so obsessed. Because you know the truth of the promise that this thing works, you're going to get 100 million. Whereas it may just be a gamble. It may happen, may not happen. But you're going to put your best into it. So, by the same token, you can only work towards the hereafter when you are convinced about the hereafter. La uqsimu biyawmi al-qiyam. If you're not convinced about it, then it's just going to be a formality. See, life after death, qiyamat, is taken lightly because of the lifestyle. Our lifestyle in Western countries is we interact with kuffar. Business, waking up, sleeping, working, all with a certain fraternity, right? And the fraternity that we work with, they don't believe in a life hereafter. Right? When they don't believe in that, then they are casual about it, so we become casual about it. We don't take it seriously. But I know that, you know, I'm going to press this button here, and this is opening up the gate to Jahannam, the gate to fire, and I'm going to be very, very apprehensive. I'll be very careful about it. And if I'm not going to take it seriously, well, I did it or I didn't do it, what's the difference? I spoke a lie or I didn't speak a lie, what's the difference? I ate haram or not, so what's wrong? So you'll be very casual about it. Because you'll have a tendency of only believing things that you can see. If someone asks you to immerse your hand in an AIDS contaminated utensil, you'll be very apprehensive. Very, very, very apprehensive. But someone tells you, you know, this zina that you're going to do, you've taken all the precautions, you won't get AIDS, you won't get any problems. You won't mind doing it. Because qiyamah is just qiyamah, jannah, jahannam, is just an imagination. It's just an illusion. And this AIDS, how the way the doctors portray it to be, you feel, this is death now, I can't be risking my life, I can't be experimenting in this. But that, well, it'll happen, it may not happen, don't worry about it. It's a far cry that. That's how you will see Qiyamah like that. You will see the life after death in this way. But therefore, Allah Ta'ala is starting off, La uqsimu biyawm al-qiyam. See, when it's a human being, any human being, small or big, he's got a goal before him. Whatever he's getting onto, whatever he's embarking on, he's got a goal. That worker that is working for you, he's got a goal that at the end of the day, my boss is going to see that I did a good job in the garden, he's going to pay me 100 rands. Right? So I need to see that I fulfill, so I can secure my job here, and every week or so I can get a job here, 100 rand, 200 rand I will get. He'll put his best to ensure that I will be entitled to that amount of money. Right? He'll do his best. So he's got a goal. When he's got a goal, then he's working in that direction. Businessman, he's got a goal as well. When he's got a goal, then he's working in that direction. Alright, this business here, I'm going to do this. This is the strokes that I'm going to make. And at the end of the month, or at the end of the financial year, this is what I'm going to get. The business is going to turn like this for me after the financial year. So he'll put that type of energy, that type of mehnat, that type of effort he'll put behind him. Because he knows at the end what the business is going to do for him. So he'll do his best. Because he can see it, he believes in it. And if any person is going to be obstructing him, he will count him to be his worst enemy. Say, you know, you're going for a sale, why struggle like this, you know, you're getting up so early, going to a sale, relax, you know, and tomorrow is another day, you can carry on, or go to business at 12 o'clock, you know. Why do you have to struggle, wake up so early, see that you're on time, see that you're delivering? Why do you have to do that? So if someone is going to be discouraging you, you will count him to be your worst enemy. You will feel that this person is jealous of me, he doesn't want me to progress, therefore he's asking me to relax. Don't you think like that? He can see I'm progressing, so he can't see me progressing, therefore he wants me to relax. So by the same token, when this Qiyamah, when you think about it as a reality, and if any person is coming in between to interrupt your relationship between yourself and Qiyamah, then you'll count that person as an enemy. He's interrupting the relationship. I'm moving straight, but he's interrupting the whole thing. The whole process is being interrupted. So you don't want to see that person. You don't want to talk to him. Hey, get out. I don't want to see you. La uqsimu biyawmi al-qiyamah. Let alone a job, let alone a business or a factory or industry. Even if it's a ball game, that ball game also needs to have a goal. If it's got no goal, and the players are just playing the ball, going in circles, you say, "Hey, you know, we didn't pay this fee to get in to see you playing like this. You know, you wasted our money, our time. We took out our time, and we came out of our businesses, we paid that fee to come here to see a proper match. But yeah, you're wasting our time, you're going in circles." So you want to see the thing going, heading into a direction. And you don't see the direction, you don't see that goal, you feel it's a total loss. So that is where Allah starts off with Qiyamah. So that's your goal. See? Like as though you came onto the field, and as you came onto the field, Allah says, see, that's your goal. La uqsimu bi yawmil qiyamah. As long as you're going to be focused to the goal, your direction, your effort, everything is going to be worth the while. But you're not focused on the goal, then you're going around in circles. You think, no, ball game means I must just kick the ball on the air. Or I must show the strokes that I can do. Or I must show how I can run. I must show how I can hit the ball. But you missed the point. You missed the plot. That's what they will tell you, that you lost the plot. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what it is all about. So everybody will be angry with you, right? He's going to school. But why is he going to school? He's going to school to enjoy the lunch break, you know. Lunch break, hey, this is a fantastic football going, game going. So I'm going for the game. The whole house will be up in arms against him. But you lost the plot. What are you going for? You know you have to write matric, subjects you have to learn, assignments you have to complete, go study, go to the library, fetch books, write articles. You'll be in a position to write the exams. But then you're going there to eat the lunch, to play the ball. Hey, you lost the plot here. Won't the whole house be out against you? But strangely, if that child is not worried about deen, no namaz, nothing, but he's making the money, we're too happy with him. So Allah Ta'ala is outlining to you as though you came onto the field. Right? On the field, and Allah Ta'ala, this is your goal. Qiyamat is your goal. Coming to an end, every day is bringing you closer and closer and closer. وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. The main spokes on the work is the nafs. So Allah Ta'ala is showing you the goal, then He's showing you what is the spanner in the work. What is the obstruction in the work? What is the obstruction is the nafs. Now why it's an obstruction? أَعْدَى أَدُوِّكِ. It's your worst enemy. The nafs is the worst enemy. As the hadith says, there is a entity within you, right? Within you there is an entity. You feed that thing, you make it comfortable, you relax, make it relax, everything, it turns against you. You feed it well, you see it well, you pay it well, you do everything that it desires for you. The more you do that, the more it will turn against you. And the more you starve the thing, the more you oppose the thing, the more you suppress the thing, the more it begins to listen to you. If you listen to it, it becomes defiant. And if you disobey it, then it will listen to you. So, can there be a worse enemy? So that's your nafs. The more you give in to it, the more you listen to it, the more you take instruction from the nafs, the more you become enslaved to the nafs, then that thing becomes more and more rebellious. I want this. I don't have this. No, I must have this. Even if it's 12 o'clock at night, but I must have this. Before I sleep, I must have this. I must see this. I must read of this. So the nafs is dictating. This is what my demands are. You need to see that you fulfill my demands. So the nafs is in control now. La uqsimu bin nafsil lawwama. The nafs in its development goes through different phases. The first phase is nafs ammara. Violently, it violently commands you towards wrong. Do this, eat this, drink this, look at this. Listen to this music. So it's violently commanding you. You want to sleep, say, no, but listen to this. For that time you want to get up, say, no, sleep away. See, but you can always make qaza. So violently it's commanding you. You can see now, this amount of wealth is enough, right? I can do without it. I can do without that wealth. I don't need to have a lamba chora life. I don't need to have that extensive life. But the nafs is already, it's so well rooted within you. It's my way or no way. See how well it's taken root within you. You become dependent to the nafs. The manager of one bank came here. So you want to have a meeting. Alright. So, Mona, we have heard that you are against the bank. So-called Muslim bank has to be against the bank. So I said, do you have any tape message or any article that I've written against your bank? No, but via the grapevine and all that I've heard that you're against us. So you want to know whether that's true or not true. So then I went on to explain it. See, you want to know my opinion, right? And everybody is entitled to his opinion. You cannot ask me why I do have that opinion against you. I can't. If I've got the facts and the figures, I can analyze, I can reason the reasons why I'm against banks, then, you're supposed to be respecting my opinion. Then you mustn't speak out against me. I must be able to establish my arguments. I must be able to substantiate what I'm saying. If I substantiate, then you must listen. So I got him now to listen. So I told him, see, I gave him three arguments. One argument I gave him. And see, for example, if all people, right, say, all of us, all South Africans, they all said, we'll just live a life of contentment. We won't do anything beyond our budget. We're earning, say, 10,000 rand a month, so we'll only work within that. We're not going to go 1 cent above that one, the 10,000. We're not going to beg, we're not going to borrow, we're not going to ask discreetly or openly. Any person for any type of assistance, we're not going to ask openly or discreetly. We'll just act within our budget. We're not going to ask. Right. And with all that, I'll be happy with what I've got. I've got 10,000. I'm very happy about it. Right. And I'm strict in this respect that I'm not going to ask, not openly, not discreetly. So if everybody is going to be living like this, then if I can afford that car that is 20,000 cash, I'll only buy that. I'm not going to buy a 200,000 rand car. I'll buy that car that is 20,000. And I will think to myself that I need to buy that car for my comfort, not for the comfort of the eyes of my friends. If I'm going to be driving around the 200,000, I'm driving partly for my comfort, more for the comfort of my friends. Because they must say, wow, wow, what a car. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, what a car. Allah Pak save you from everybody, nazar. But you need say Allah Pak save you from the bank's nazar. Everybody's nazar, Allah Pak save you, but the bank's nazar must be on you. What? You know, nazar in Urdu also means to be considerate. What? One is nazar, we know, right? One is to be considerate. So, you want the bank's nazar to be on you. It must be considerate. So I asked this man, alright, say everybody is acting just within his budget. No, nothing more, nothing less. Just within the tight budget. But I'm very happy. Working myself, living, and for the 20,000 rand car, just driving that. Not driving and being an expensive car. I need to go to Joburg. What's if I go in a bus? It's not against my respect, not against my integrity. Everybody else can jump onto a bus. So what's if I jump onto the bus? Is there any problem with that? So what's wrong? The day I can afford it, next day I'll do that. If I can't afford it, I can't afford it. One of those things. So I asked him, if that ever happens, I want to know from you, what percentage of banks will be left? He said, well, perhaps just 1%. 99% of the banks will all close. So that means, I told him, that the banks are thriving on our greed, not on our need. Sometimes what happens, it's just a pleasure, it's just a luxury, but the luxury becomes a need. I need this. So that luxury, it was a luxury, the luxury became a need. And when the luxury became a need, I needed to somehow sustain that, somehow afford it. So I saw that car now, I said, hey, I need to have that car. Now, the bank is seeing me, as though he's a figure, right? You see, poor chap, you know, he needs to have the car. So he played the sympathetic card towards me. He said, "Bhai, don't worry, man. Don't stress. We will be loving and considerate to you. We'll purchase the car for you, bhai. We'll sell it to you. Installments over 50 months, 60 months. This is how you repay us." So he came up with a very sympathetic card, right? But I ask you, if you fail to pay the installments at the 50th month, they won't feel sympathetic to take the car from you. Just thought they were so sympathetic, bicharo, who kare, what he'll do now, you know? Let us forward him the loan. But the day after 50 months of regular payment, you fail to do it, pull the car from you. That's the sympathy they show. So he's very, very hard, cold blooded. But then you don't blame the banks, really, you blame yourself as well. Your greed had the bet over you, so you went begging. When you went begging to the bank, they forwarded the loan. When they forwarded the loan, now you have to then service that loan. Or you see how it plays out. So you had fault and they had fault. But everybody said, no, I'm content, I'm happy, I'm easy. There's a more important meaning to life than just eating and enjoying. Otherwise, what it'll mean, I'm earning and eating and enjoying. What else? Ya'kuluna wa yatamattaun. I'm eating and enjoying. What else? Is there any other meaning to life? That means there's no other meaning to life but eating and enjoying. Eating and enjoying. If I'm looking for higher horizons all the time, then this is what's the meaning of the life. So that's the one thing I told you. The second thing I told you, you see, you're working as an Islamic bank. So that means what you are saying is you are proper Islamic. You understood and you are behaving like a Muslim. That's what you are claiming to be, right? You are claiming to be behaving like a Muslim. You claiming to have the flavor of Islam. So I want to know from you, what is the Islamic flavor of finance? You couldn't answer that one. So I told you, see, the flavor of Islam is contentment. Flavor, you know, the flavor, the taste of Islam is contentment. And are you promoting contentment or greed? What are you promoting? So do you have any answers for that? Now you say that I am against the bank. Now, am I justified? So his head went right down. No answer for that. So, the problem is not the wealth. There is no shortage of wealth. It's the greed of man. The greed has overtaken us. And there isn't a point that we say we stop now. It's not a point. Anybody wants to make the life work, you can make it life. You can make it work. 10,000 rand, 15,000, you can make it work. But no, I must have this. I must have this pleasure. I must have that pleasure. Then the pleasure is saying, you want the pleasure, then have it, but pay for it. The pleasure is 2,000 rand. This pleasure 5,000 rand. This pleasure 10,000 rand. End of the month 50,000 rand. So how it came, you want this pleasure, you want that pleasure, you want that comfort. So then pay the price and take the thing. So, وَلَا لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. Now from this explanation, you can well understand at which level of nafs are you? Are you in that still in that primary class, or have you progressed? You can see in some respects I've progressed, some respects I'm still at the baby class. Because the nafs is still violent. Need that money, need that wealth, I must have it. I can't do without it. See, it's obsessed you. Without that luxury, you can't move. Without that comfort, you can't move. So, وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. So, one is the nafs of nafs al-ammara. Then as you are developing, as you're moving up, then it becomes nafs al-lawwamah. Now, what is nafs al-lawwamah? Translate as the ever-reproaching soul. One is the violent soul to evil, aggressive. Now, it's developed. When it's developed, so now the ever-reproaching soul. So, now how it happens? This happens when you keep correcting it. No, what you're doing is wrong. You're not supporting it. Oh, this is wrong. This is wrong. Take another step. Oh, this is wrong. You need to review what you are doing. You show what you're doing, what is right. What is right. You know what you're doing. So you're reproaching yourself all the time. That's why Hasan Basri Ahmad says, the road to Jannah is just two steps. أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي is Qiyamah, right? وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ, right? Then فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. You got the nafs right, you got the goal right, and you got the nafs right, then the next step is jannat. So get the first thing first. The first thing is get your goal right. Qiyamah, what it is all about. Do I think about Qiyamah? Do I think about death? Do I think about the life hereafter? Some madrasa students, they speak about self-admiration sometimes. When they did very well for the examination, then if there's a talk on ikhlas or self-admiration and pride, they say, you know what, people are complimenting us, how do we work with this? How do we handle this? So my general answer to them, to speak to them at their level, see. So I asked them, see, you wrote your exams, final exams. You wrote your matric exams, right? The results have not yet come out. You haven't got the symbols yet. And now you're celebrating. Maybe you're clubbing, celebrating, dancing, musicking, right, eating and doing everything else. But the results have not yet come out. Is that the wise thing to do? Or is it a stupid thing to do? The result is only going to come when you touch the grave. Before you can touch the grave, you don't know where you stand, this way or that way. You know, where is going to end up? Now, the results haven't come out, and you're celebrating, going up or celebrating. Think so much of yourself. So, if people have given you applaud, perhaps it's because of your acumen, right? You know the stuff. But in knowing this stuff is not how Allah Ta'ala measures virtue. See, men may measure virtue in a certain way, and Allah Ta'ala measures virtue in a certain way. According to their standards, yeah, you are very good. But does that mean that according to the standards of Allah Ta'ala, you are very good? See, in the school, right, the student may say, you know, the student union, they say, you know, you are a very good person. Student union says, you are a very good person. Buhar Poirocha, very good person. But does that mean now that the examiners also say that you are a very good person? Is that a guarantee for the examiners saying you that you are a good person? So, whatever people tell you, good or bad, that is not the benchmark, it's not the criteria, it's not the standard. The standard is what Allah Ta'ala says. Allah Ta'ala says, by you won, then you really won. But that you only get to know as you are leaving this world. La uqsimu bin nafsil lawwam. So to get to this second level, you know, develop the soul, what is required is you keep reproaching, keep shouting at him. You're asking for this, you ask, leave others, what other the whole world is doing. Leave them. Because in your business, you don't worry about, hey, he's making money or not. You're worried about yourself. That's the principle that you use in your day-to-day affairs, right? Am I doing the business or not? But are you going to worry about him, what he's doing, what business he's doing, what that person is doing, how much he's making? Are you worried about that? So, conveniently, in your business, you don't see what they're doing. Yes, how far am I lagging? I'm not worried about what they're doing, what aren't they doing. Yes, am I committing myself? Am I doing or not? Am I performing? Am I behaving? Now, the whole world, see, I think we, after a period of time, you know, when you become media mad, you know, media madness, then you begin to think like media. Because the media thinks of everybody else but itself. Every other country, what's happening in Japan, what's happening in China, in your backyard, what's happening? In your home, what's happening? Do you read Quran Sharif regularly? How many sipara do you read? You and your children are reading namaz on the time? You're observing parda or not? Are you doing all these type of things? That you're not concerned. Yes, that person here, he's doing this. So after a period of time, you get mesmerized. You don't even realize you're getting mesmerized with media. And with the type of people that you're talking. So you become mesmerized, you are hypnotized, you don't understand you're getting hypnotized. So that is why it's so important to keep reading the kitab, you know. Let that kitab reading hypnotize you. Because it is the pen of those people, right, when I talk about this is ever Fazail Amal, right? Pens of people whose hearts were drowning in love of Allah Ta'ala. You can't doubt the integrity. They're so great, only half the time. This is over. Look at the person now. You can't find a person here. You can't find. So far, you can't find. So, just reading this thing constantly, you read it 100 times over, read again. People, you don't say the paper that I read it now, I don't need to read the news again. You say that. And the same news will be repeating, yeah. One person died in a motor car accident, another person came in an earthquake, there was a volcano there. Same thing is repeated in a different format. Same thing. Right, so repeat the same thing. Repeat this. Kitabs, best is ever, Fazail Amal, Fazail Sadaqat. Repeat it until it soaks into you. You begin to think like that. You begin to reason like that. You begin to behave like that. Until you haven't behaved like that, then you haven't read it. You haven't understood it. You haven't digested it. You eat food. What do you eat for? Just for the taste. For the energy, right? So the same applies to these kitabs. When you read these kitabs, to get that type of thinking, that thinking gets into you, that means you have digested it. And the thinking doesn't get into you, you haven't digested it. How they reason, what was the importance they showed for namaz. The Shaykh has got there. The people of Medina Munawwara were such, you know. The man missed out his takbira ula. One jamaat namaz he missed out, right? People actually have to go to his house to offer condolence. People have to go to his house, they'll be so depressed, so distressed. One takbir ula I missed out, you know. What a thing, what a terrible thing. So that namaz was held in such high esteem, that one namaz, so much. Here the man's asad namaz is going, maghrib isha namaz is going, no namaz. But if there's a fire in his business, hey, Hazrat, you know, so sorry for you. Allah will give you something better, you know. But did you ever offer him condolence when he missed out Zohar namaz, Asar namaz, Maghrib namaz? Did you ever tell him, give some words when he's involved in interest? Nothing. So the condolence is only for what meets the eye. It means you don't believe in the hereafter, you see. As you're supposed to be. It's just an illusion, it's just an imagination. See, la uqsimu bin nafsil lawwam. So you see that nafs has to progress. So the step to Jannat, مقام ربي خاف مقام ربي ونهى النفس. As you stop, you're reproaching that soul, that soul is called نفس لوام. And that thing, Allah Pak has given it an applaud. ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوام. Praise it. You always, you know, on its case. You're reproaching it all the time. Yeah, you went wrong. But why? Why did you have to speak so long with that girl, you know, over the phone? And you know, your whole tone changed. You spoke to your friend, your brother or someone, you spoke in a different tone, but the next call is a girl, right? Say, how are you? Jazakallah. So, why is your tone change automatically? You spoke to your brother just now differently, now her you spoke to a totally different, why? That means there's a rogue, there's a thief, so you reproach yourself. You don't need someone else to reproach yourself. You don't need your wife to come and reproach you. You reproaching yourself. Why do you do this? And if you ever see that nafs, you know, then that thing will stop. It stop working. Because you're not accepting. It's a divine help that's coming to you. And you're not responding to that divine help. That means you're respecting. You're respecting. Now it won't come. It won't come to you. You lost out. Hazrat Yahya gave one story, you know. See, this nafs, the struggle has to carry on. One person is seated in the masjid, he's doing his zikr. Khata pita, average, not too wealthy, not absolutely poor, but it's breaking even. So his nafs says, you know, that chocolate and that mithai, I need to have it. So he's saying, the nafs, but you know, one is, you're going to have two problems. One is, you don't have so much of money, you'll have a problem at the end of the month, right? Number two, the time it takes to go, buy that mithai, that chocolate, eat that thing and all that. You know, what you could have done, you would have lost out. So the nafs is coming again. No, you must have it. But the taste, you know, that flaked chocolate, you know. Just have, at least one bite, must have the thing. So no, buy. You can't have it. And that thing is troubling it. You know, sometimes the nafs gets onto you. It won't leave you. Until you don't do it, it won't leave you. It comes to you, and you're blind for the time. For that time, you know it's haram. The love of the secretary entered your heart. Now, on her side, she needs the job. Because she's putting food on the table, right? On your side, now you're playing the money card. Right? You see me right, I see you right. So that game is going on. That game is going on, and you're playing that game. See? She's seeing you right, she wants some favor, and you seeing her right because you want some favor. Now Allah knows all what's going on. And until you didn't do it, that thing is very uneasy. Feeling very, very uneasy. Now you did. You say, astaghfirullah, what I did? How did I get myself involved in this? So for that moment, you just become blinded. You become blinded when you didn't respect that nafs al-lawwam. He was shouting you, reproaching you, say, let me do it. I'm my own boss, I can do it. I got the money, I can do it. Who's stopping me? So when you didn't respect that nafs al-lawwama, then you fall in. You get blinded, your mind, your understanding goes off. Reasoning goes off. So what's wrong if I sat and spoke to her, what's there? When you consider that sin to be an insignificant thing, now you are crossing the lines with Allah Ta'ala. You're breaking the peace with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has showed you a peaceful road, and now you're crossing the lines, you think you're going to maintain the peace now. You're going to be a troubled soul. That's why the hadith says, من جعل الهموم همّا واحدا, to get the nafs right. Make your fikr one. Make your goal one. Akhirat. Then everything falls in place. But your goal is get this, get that thing, get that thing, get this. Then your goal is not the same. You are saying my goal is akhirat, but there are 101 things that you want to do. To get that, you want, you're going to Umrah, right? But you want to have a party in Durban Airport. On the plane, you want to be in the first class. Then you want to make a big party there. Then you want to stay over in Dubai for 5 weeks. Have a party here, go to the club, go to the dancing, have some wine. And then you have to go to Umrah. Is it worth it? Is it on? That's what we are doing. We say we want to go there, but we have to have all this enjoyment, all these frills and thrills. So the nafs is telling him, you must have that mitai, have that thing. And that thing is on his case. Don't want to leave him. And he says, no, you're not going to have it. So much of your time is going to get wasted, all this is going to get wasted, whole routine is going to get upset. No, you have to have it. And eventually, he said to us, alright, I'll let you have it. I'll allow you to have it. So what he did? He said, you see, I don't have that additional money. So, now you want that comfort, so do that additional work, so you'll get that additional money, and you'll be able to enjoy. So how must get that additional, he's trying to correct the nafs. He's trying to correct the nafs. You want it, and you're nagging all the time. You're not leaving me at ease. Namaz time you're having me. Out of namaz you're having me. So now you want to keep nagging me. I will give it to you. You know that WhatsApp now, that Google. I want to see it. You're nagging on me. You're nagging all the time. You must see the thing. The porn. You must see the thing. Nagging. Must see it. Didn't see it. Nagging. You're troubling. Wife is around. Go into the toilet. Go do it. Bathroom. Do it. So his nagging is on your case. Don't want to leave you. Someone says the jinnat got him. Yes, the jinnat did get him. The jinnat is doing his work. He's nagging him. So now this person, alright, I need to correct the soul. I need to correct the nafs. How to correct the nafs? So he saw a farmer and he's about to plow his fields. So in the olden days, they got that cattle or that bull, buffalo, and they're connecting it and they plow it to the plow, and they're plowing the thing. So he went to that farmer and he said, you see what, you can strap that whole plow onto my back and I will do the whole plowing. No, why you need wait? No, you just give me this amount, because your buffalo will take a rest. I will do it for it on. So he did that. He did it in the mid-heat. He's perspiring. Now, he got that amount. So he bought that mitai, the chocolate, whatever, lint chocolate or that. Why? Nafs, eat this thing. So Nafs said, please, for Allah's sake, I won't trouble you again. I troubled you in the past. Now I make tawbah, I won't trouble you again. So that nafs has to be corrected. We think we are giving into it. And we're doing good to it. See that anger had overtaken you. Let me just tell the person what I need to tell him. So you think you're doing better through the situation, not realizing that your nafs is becoming more and more strong, more swollen headed. You're becoming more and more possessed by the nafs. You don't realize that. You think you're doing the right thing, but you're becoming swollen headed, you're becoming proud, you're becoming arrogant, you feel you can do things. But the right thing is to go against the nafs. No, I'm not going to allow you to have it. So you have to keep reproaching it, keep reproaching it. See, now the nafs, it got its lesson. When you put him through the plow, well, I got my lesson, I won't make this mistake, I won't make demands. You just do what is right, I will listen to you. Amanna wa saddaqna. See that? So the nafs, to discipline the nafs, you have to put it to the difficulty. Now, you give it everything what it wants, the type of food, type of pleasure, type of comfort, type of umrah, type of... You have it, then you won't enslave your nafs. You will be a slave to your nafs. وَلَا أُخْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ Then that nafs, you kept on disciplining it. When you discipline it all the time, then it develops further. It's promoted now. It gets an access. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ Compliant. Now, from aggressive, you know, very aggressive, then reproaching. And after the reproaching, then it goes even further. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ That soul that is compliant, so sweet you are now. You are so sweet, you are compliant, you just take things as they come. Whatever is given to you, you just accept it. You don't show a frown, no ill feelings, nothing. Someone shouted you also, you take it in the stride. Someone was good to you, you take it in the stride. Someone was wrong to you, you still take it in the stride. So that soul has become so obedient, so compatible, so compliant. So Allah Ta'ala now promotes it to the higher level, highest level. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna. But at that level also, you still hold that nafs in suspect. You are not totally at ease with the nafs. One person, see this nafs, you can't say, no, it's alright, I've passed all the stages now. Now it's totally compliant. One person wants to go for Hajj in the old days, going by camel now. Imagine you're from Africa, right through Makkah, Medina, and coming back to Africa on horse or on a camel, right? At least about an 8-9 month job. In the meanwhile, he's got a young daughter, 15-16 years of age, but for some reason he can't take her on the journey. Because it's a little bit of a difficult journey, she's a small young child, and she may not be able to put up with all the difficulties. She's trying to work out now, how must I work this thing? Because I need to go for it, I got the money, but the girl is a spokes now, what do I do? I need to take good care of it, it's my obligation. But there's an obligation of Allah Ta'ala that I need to go for Hajj as well. Now, how do I get the boat working? Right? If you've been in disobedience, Allah Ta'ala still helps you. So if you're in obedience, Allah Ta'ala won't help you. When you have multiple goals, Allah Ta'ala still help you. When you have a single goal is now akhirat, Allah Ta'ala won't help you. He'll help you still. He will create the avenues. The avenues come before you. And now they'll come before you, it'll come before you with respect. Before you are to respect it, now the dunya will respect you. Atatu dunya wa hiya raghimatun. Before you had to respect the dunya, right? We are coming now, the CEO or that kafir or whoever, how your boss, have you had tea, you comfortable. You have to show it all the respect. Now the dunya will come and respect you, kiss your feet. How it will come? Allah will make it happen. But do you give yourself to Allah Ta'ala? Is your goal Allah Ta'ala? Or is your goal is multiple things? So this person wants to go for Hajj, and his daughter is 15, 16 years of age. So he's thinking how to work the thing out. So he saw someone in the masjid now, a little bit more pious. So he goes up to him, you know what, I got a daughter, and I'm going for Hajj. So can't you take care of, you know, a woman, not an easy thing to do. So no, you make all the parda facilities, whatever it costs you, I'll pay you for it, but you just take care of her in my absence. Alright. So for the first month, he observed all the parda requirements. He would send the food with a maid or someone to her. Different apartments, she's doing her thing and he's doing his thing. Now, the nafs is doing its work. You see, the nafs is not trained. He's not yet disciplined. And he will take a chance. You can't take a chance when that thing is not yet disciplined. See, when we came to Spingo, you know, so I had a passion for swimming. So I used to listen to this lifesavers and all, what they do and all that. Though I didn't take any training from them, but I like the stories. So, if someone is in danger, how they send the person? More dangerous is what they do. Sometimes it's dangerous waters, then they fasten a rope. The person is going to save that person, so they send him inside, right inside, right? But he's got a radio with him. If he's in difficulty, then he will radio land, and they will pull him out straight away. So by the same token, when your nafs is not yet disciplined, then you have to keep yourself connected. That the moment you perceive the slightest danger, you come back to the Shaykh. When, now, before you fell into the wrong, and then you will come, you cause the damage now, then, but until you didn't cause the damage, you wanted to go. Oh. Now you see you coming, you're about to fall into that quagmire. Before you can fall in, say, let me go back. I'm going off now. You can see now my mind is going off, my understanding is going off, everything is going off. Now let me go back. Now what we want to do is fall into that, get into the problem, and then come back. Meanwhile, you put yourself in a dangerous position. To come back is going to take time. You know, you went for, you involved in a motor accident. To come back, maybe take you 1 year for a spinal problem. So how long will it take you? 1 year, 2 years. So the same happens in a spiritual situation. When you put yourself, you expose yourself to the danger, to come out of that thing is going to take you time. It's not going to happen overnight. So the right thing is, the brilliant thing is that you can see now you're getting into danger. Some woman, something, some haram is going to come up. So before you get soaked into it, now you come back. Don't you take the chance. So now, in the second month, his nafs is telling him, you know what? You know that girl is all alone. Bichari kya karti hogi? What she must be doing, you know, all alone. So, at least have the heart to make a salam, you know. At least she'll feel happy, she won't fall into a depression. She won't get distressed. Just make salam and go away. That's all. So now, he's giving to the nafs. Doesn't have a guide, doesn't have a mentor, doesn't have a sheikh. And now he becomes the sheikh. You don't have a sheikh, then you become the sheikh. You begin to rule your life. Look at this, talk to this person, blow your top, do the wrong. Because now you don't have that line. When you don't have the line, you're doing it yourself. When you're doing it yourself, you're falling into the wrong, then you will come right. So the nafs is telling him, no, you go and talk to that girl. So he made salam. Right, 2 months passed now, it's still about a 9 month journey. By the third month, he said, ye kya, tum hai salam karke chale jati, make salam and go away, what's this? It's not a humane feeling. A humane feeling, one sit with the, talk to one, two things, maybe you can talk to about Quran, Hadith or something, you know. Something. Madrasatul Banat, Salihat. So something will go into a heart, something nice will come. The third month, now he began to talk to her a little bit freely. By the fourth month, now they became friends. How are you? Whatever, what sweet, whatever. All these things are happening now, right? By the fifth month, he caused it. Ankarni karali. What he was not supposed to be doing, by the fifth month, all his patience, everything got exhausted. He collapsed, and he realized, before he could realize, this 15, 16 year old girl, now she's already pregnant. What to do? She's already pregnant. You can see now all the signs are coming up. Warning sickness and throwing up. All everything coming up. So now the nafs is saying, you know what? Dead, they don't carry tails. The dead people don't carry tails. Just now, it's already 5 months. In 3-4 months time, the father is going to come back. He's going to discover this. Then all my piety, everything will get lost. You know, I'm respected in the community as a pious person. People respect me. They bring presents for me and all that. So everything will be lost. I'll lose everything. And the principle is that the dead don't carry any tails. So the easiest thing is, I will just push up, put away, just kill her, and then abandon the body. Just anyway, he did that. In the meanwhile, after the 9th month, father came back. Father came back to find out what the girl said. Unfortunately, she passed away. So anyway, the father felt a little bit suspicious, so he engaged the police. Now the police required just a little bit of evidence, some blood stain, something. You can match things, right? So asked him, but she died a natural death, she died natural death. Okay, the story finished. Now they got that little bit of a lead, and they made out that the girl is buried here. They were investigated, found that he murdered. Now, when they discovered that he murdered, now shaitan comes at the end, see? كَمَا صَلِشْ شَيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كُفُرُ Ibn Kathir Rahmatullahi relates this incident here under this. كَمَا صَلِشْ شَيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كُفُرُ The nafs works in cahoots with shaitan. See, the nafs gives, the shaitan gives the instruction, but who carries out the instruction is the nafs. So the nafs is the one that is going to carry out, and the one that is going to instruct is shaitan. إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كُفُرُ Can you see that? That in command, do this. فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيٌّ مِّنْ But at the 11th hour, the shaitan just abandons you. You know, I went to this aquarium, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, some 25 years ago. So I saw there was one fish now, and on that fish, on the head of that thing, there was a small little fish. So I said, what is this small fish doing? He said, oh, that's a pilot fish. That thing is like the nucleus of the big fish. Such a big fish, the thing. And the small fish is like the pilot. That thing directs it. But I asked that person, tell me something else about this thing. He said, yeah, this thing here is a very sharp thing. If ever it senses that this thing is in danger, that thing will move away. It will abandon, it will move away. It's going for its own safety. So exactly the same. Shaitan, when he sees he's in danger, he'll move away, he'll cut a line, he'll break away. Now, his idea is to put you into a peril, the destruction. When you go into a destruction, he cuts a lane, he breaks away straight. فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيٌّ مِّنْكَ I have nothing to do, I break away from you. See that? That's nafs, that's shaitan. So he will lead the nafs right till the point of destruction. When you come to the destruction, he broke away straight away. قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيٌّ مِّنْكَ See that? I got nothing to do with you. So now nafs, the shaitan is abandoning him at this crucial moment. Now they discover that this person is guilty. Old days, now they execute you. They chop off your head, right? Or they hang you. Now, at that moment when he's sitting on the death row, so Shaitan tells him, you see, I've been inciting you from the very beginning to this point here. I led you up, made you do all this mischief, everything, you into this problem. But now, you know what? I know you are in a predicament, you want to save your life. Marne jeena ka sawal. It's between life and death. And I can make it happen that I can save you. But then that requires that you bow down for me. Let's go onto your knees and you prostrate for me. And I will make it happen. So Shaitan got him to do what he wanted. At the right moment, he got him to make prostrate and there the slaughter of the king just slaughtered him straight. In the state of prostration is gone, class. See, فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيٌّ مِّنْكَ At that crucial moment, he leaves you. So that nafs, you can't say at any moment, that now I'm very refined, I can't fall into a wrong. Don't say that, don't ever say that. You don't know when he's going to slip, when he's going to drop, when he's going to hurt you. You don't know. You know, you can't take a chance with it. You can't take a chance with nafs, nor can you be in a position of suspicion. Nabi Sassam sees, he's sitting in Atikaf, right? So his respected family, Safiya radiallahu anha, she comes to visit him. Perhaps it's for the evening, and she comes to visit him. And Nabi Sassam accompanies her right to the entrance of the masjid. So as he's coming to the entrance of the masjid, then two Ansari Sahaba-i Kiram, they see Nabi Sam and they're trying to speed off. Because it's unethical, if you see a man with his wife, you sit there, you stand, and casually speak about, so it's not respectful. Because it creates you in a little bit of suspicion for you, that you're enjoying the girl's presence. Are you interested in him or interested in his wife? You're talking so casually, so nice, but what's your intention? Are your intentions the girl, or the husband. So you don't have a casual approach. Whatever the Sharia has said, by disrespect it, you will go a long way. I was reading some history of India. You know. Two friends got married to two sisters. So now they got friends, now they got married to sisters, now the sisters are coming, they're going to the homes. So there's no parda in between. We just hug by, going to see each other, so what? It turned out that one friend's wife turned out to be more beautiful, younger and more beautiful than the other. So the one whose wife was not so beautiful, he tells his wife, you know, I got landed, I got stuck up with you. See, that be parda. No parda. And now what this person is complaining? See, no, I got stuck up with you. So he's complaining to his wife. I'm supposed to get married to this beautiful sister of yours, and I got stuck up with her my whole life. You messed up my whole life. Now she had to hear this, she fell into a depression. He kept on nagging on her depression, and she committed suicide. But you see the barakat of observing parda. I'm not looking at you, you're looking at me. But the moment aankhe mil gaye, samjhe? Aankhon se mulaqat ho gayi. Tum hamare, hum tumhare ho gaye. Once the eyes have met, they say, you are mine and I'm yours, right? That's what happens. Once the eyes meet. So, the Shariah is saying, "By this is a dangerous area, you don't get into it." So anyway, when Nabi Sam sees these people speeding off, he calls them, "Allah rislikum, just hold it. Hadi Safiya, this is my respected family, Hazrat Safiya, radiyallahu anha." So they say to Rasulullah SAW, "Ya Rasulullah, of all people, can we ever have any suspicions about your personality? How can we? Can't be Muslims." We should explain to them that you see, Shaitan runs in the system of man like blood. He can instill some suspicions against me. So understand that this is Safiya, it's my wife. So I'm expelling the doubt of your mind. That means what Nabi is teaching us, that you don't put yourself into a suspicious position. Don't get into a suspicious thing. And after all, we practice it, but conveniently and selectively. I ask you, that do you ever get into a bar to buy Sprite? Why? Suspicion, isn't it? Do you ever get into a bar to buy, or to a brothel to buy a bottle of Coke? Do you ever do it? Well, people hold you and suspect. So, no, I couldn't find any other tea room to buy this coding. I went here. Nobody will listen to that story. So you know that they will hold you in suspicion. Why get into that area? Right. So, this areas of suspicion. Now you got the secretary around you. You're talking to her, she's talking to you, your other staff are watching what's happening. But these suspicions, won't they run through their minds? See? So the Sharia is saying, no, don't do this. So we are talking now of the advanced level nafs. The advanced level nafs is called mutmainna, totally compliant. But I tell you that even that compliant soul, you also apprehensive at that level also. Bharosa nahi nafs ammara. You got no bharosa. You don't know when that thing will cause some damage. So the connection to keep, to see that you progress, small things, big things, you can see that you're falling. Before you fall down, you go and find out. Don't give yourself the chance. Don't fall and then come up. I don't say you shouldn't be coming afterwards, but it's not the wise thing. The wise thing is, you know, you're falling in that direction, you can lose yourself. Before you fell, you should have come and asked, find out, is that the right thing for me to do? Or is it the wrong thing? Am I going in the right direction, wrong direction? Sometimes that accident can be irreparable, you know, can be so bad. So this advanced soul now, that becomes compliant. It becomes so compliant, just obedient. Whatever you say, well, I'll do it, I'll comply. I won't go against you. You know, this ishara kinaya, just indicate that thing is doing it. Now that way the sahaba kiram. See, maybe some is studying one person, I think it was Laqit ibn Sabira. Don't you use any insulting language at anybody. Any aggressive, impolite speech, don't use it at anybody. He says, for the rest of my life, now I'm coming from the village, and the village, you know, you've seen his village, every second word is F. That's the language they speak, they talk like that. But he says, for the rest of my life, you know, for the rest of my life, I never use any aggressive, any insulting word, not on a man, not on a woman, not on a slave, not even on an animal. But now that's called nafse mutmainna. Sahaba ikram, they met up with Nabi Sassam, and they became totally compliant. Absolutely. What Nabi Sassam wants, that we'll just comply. We leave our nafs aside, our story is one side, we'll just conform, to total conformity. See that now, nafse ammara. nafsa mutmainna. Now for this nafsa mutmainna are all these promises. As you are approaching Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is well pleased, you are well pleased. Allah Ta'ala is saying compliments. Sa'ayukum sa'ayam mashkura. You are appreciated, we recognize you. Imagine Allah Ta'ala is saying, you know, you're just touching death and you get the voice from Allah Ta'ala that your effort is well appreciated by, don't worry. I say, do you need anything after that? Inna hadha jaza'ukum wa kana sa'ayukum mashkura. Allah Ta'ala grant us all that.